Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Polevsky, and it is a great privilege to have Robert Bauer in the studio with me. He's sales and export manager for the Fladgate Partnership, and we're here to talk about ports. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
I would assume you have spent your whole life in this business?
Yes. Now, I've been following my father around the vineyards. As soon as I could walk, I was in the vineyards, and I was probably dipping my finger in a glass when he wasn't looking.
I see. You grew up in Portugal, is that correct?
I grew up in Portugal until age 8, at which point my father thought it was a good idea to ship me off to the United Kingdom to be educated.
Like port, as it were.
Exactly. I sort of
fortunately
put in a barrel.
I'm looking at a Taylor Fladgate bottle of 1692. Is that the earliest of examples of port being shipped from Oporto to England?
It was sort of just slightly later than that, as a vintage port. 1692 is when Taylor Fladgate was founded in the town of Porto, actually in the town of Vila Nova de Gaia, which is actually in the south side of the river. We actually find ourselves going back to 1622, when we were trading in the town of Viana do Castelo. If you look at Croft, which is the oldest port house, they were founded in 1588.
So during the reign of Queen Elizabeth?
Queen Elizabeth I.
Yes.
So the same year of the Spanish Armada. We say sort of she defended the country because Croft was just founded then. So she had a good excuse.
I could talk to you all day about family history, but we have to talk about wine. So in the simplest of terms, port breaks down into rubies and tawnies. Let's start there.
I break them down really into their flavor styles. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like it when people come up to me in the bar and ask me, sort of, can I have a glass of wine? I always want them to say, well, red or white.
Mm-hmm.
And port wine's the same thing. Do you want a fruity port or do you want a nutty port? And they taste completely different. So the ruby ports are all going to be sort of blackcurrants, strawberries, raspberries, wonderful with chocolates. And then the tawny ports, they're all going to be nutty. They're going to be walnuts, hazelnuts, caramel, butterscotch, marzipan, almonds. And those are wonderful with your bread puddings, your apple pies, your vanilla ice cream on a Saturday evening. Sort of, they are completely, completely different. And vintage is, I would say, the third. It is in the style of a ruby port because it's fruit-driven. But I would say it is like normal rubies, but on steroids. There is nothing so intense, so immense, like a vintage port. And vintage port is the only wine that you can put in your cellar and will develop incredible complexity over 100 years.
We sampled your 2009 vintage port, and you mentioned that this was the most intense vintage you've declared in a long time, or maybe the most intense.
It certainly is. 2009 was very good to us. We picked in at the right time. We've got incredible color in this wine. And when we asked our blending team and we'd look to the older generation and say, well, what's this like? Is this like the 63? Is it like the 77? Everyone was just looking at each other and saying, no, we've never seen anything so dark, so big as this wine. So we think this is something old school, maybe something from the 1940s.
My guest has been Robert Bauer, who is sales and export manager of the Fladgate Partnership, and he'll be back next week to talk more about the joys of port. For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Polevsky. Cheers.